The horror and fallout of surviving R. Kelly. Fired Pixar chief John Lasseter gets a new gig, but is Time's Up and Me Too ready to forgive past abusers? Did Kevin Hart's Oscar debacle damage his box office? Megyn Kelly's whopping NBC exit deal? And is Steve Harvey moving to Facebook? All this and more on Meet the Hollywood Press for January 13th, 2019. I'm Alina Vision, and now your host in Meet the Hollywood Press, Joseph Capsch.
Happy Sunday, everybody, and don't turn the channel. You are watching the right show. We've had a little studio change this week for the new year. Happy New Year,
Alina. Happy New Year.
You look comfy on the couch.
I know. This is going to be my new setup.
Welcome back. I missed you.
I know.
This is literally six weeks.
I am so excited for today's show, though, because there's so much going on.
I don't think
it's
45
a crazy
minutes.
Little world.
Yeah, I don't think 45 minutes is going to be enough. The horror and fallout is like an understatement for the R. Kelly stuff. So I just want to really quickly thank everybody who's been tuning in and listening to us, because we finished out 2018 with our highest views and listens across all platforms. So if you're not already signed up, check us out. We'll let you know where you can find that at the end of the show, but stay tuned for that. And thank you for everyone who's been sticking with us. And welcome to my guest this week. Anita Bennett returns to Meet the Hollywood Press. She is the founder and managing editor of Urban Hollywood 411.
That's right.
I always want to make sure, because remember that one show when I was like, oh, editor-in-chief, you're like managing editor. And then I go, editor-in-chief. She goes, it was like priceless. Itai Hai, welcome back.
Senior entertainment
reporter for The Wrap.
Yep.
And Stuart Brazel,
entertainment
reporter of many, many things.
Yeah, thank you for getting my last name right. It's always people, I always see them, they're like, wait, what is it? I'm like, Razzle Dazzle. Razzle Dazzle Brazel.
Oh my God. Thank you all three for coming in this little cold for California weather in Burbank.
Yeah.
So let's jump in, because we've got a lot to talk about. So obviously, Surviving R. Kelly, the 6-part docuseries on Lifetime. Shocking, shocking allegations and survivors coming forward, basically setting the industry and music industry and Hollywood just ablaze on social media, and now singers that have collaborated with him coming forward and sort of denouncing this, Lady Gaga being one of them, pulling her song,
Do What You Want,
from it. She had actually performed that live, I remember, on SNL with him. I want to just start with this. Is R. Kelly the Harvey Weinstein of the music industry? Meaning?
I think he definitely is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no thinking. He is.
Yeah.
The allegations in this 6-part series were just unbelievable. And the fact that this went on for so long.
So long. That's the thing. It's not news.
Since I was a kid.
So like, you've heard about... Okay, well, let's just go back for viewers. You're talking about the first case when the video was discovered. He was with a 14-year-old girl having sex, and there was, water sports going on and a lot of other unspeakable acts.
Style. Yeah, exactly.
Right? Oh,
exactly.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
But that's fake news.
Right.
Okay, but no, R. Kelly... That was dismissed, basically, with all of that. He got off.
Which is crazy.
Okay, so you're just going from the knowledge of that.
Well, no, I'm going from the knowledge of Aaliyah.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
Aaliyah.
Yeah, when I was really young, I really liked Aaliyah, and she was older than me, but I remember R. Kelly being on the cover of her album, and then the whole age ain't nothing but a number, and then I heard they got married, and I was like, wait, what? She's 15.
Yeah.
I thought he was shady from the get-go.
So let me ask you, Alina, because with your, and for viewers that don't know, your husband is a producer in the industry.
Right.
So obviously he runs in some of these circles and does know a lot of these producers. When Aaliyah and them married, what I learned from that documentary was that I didn't realize that when she was 15, though, but then they like forged the paper. Was that known at the time that it happened?
I don't believe so.
I'm not aware of that.
Okay, okay. So you remember this when they got married.
Yes.
But you don't remember it being she's not actually 18.
But there were all allegations, and there were people who said they weren't married. So we never knew what was really true.
Happening.
Yeah, what was really happening. But then...
And they seemed in love, right?
They seem very close.
But now that we know all that he does, it was definitely not a
healthy thing. The brainwashing, the cult thing that people are saying.
But the interesting thing with him being acquitted in that trial for, you know, allegedly molesting the 14-year-old girl in the tape, her family did not cooperate with prosecutors, and her father is still supposedly in R. Kelly's band. So, you know, it raises a lot of questions as to why they didn't participate. Yes. Was there a payoff involved?
Right.
What exactly happened?
What was their motivation?
So, Itai, you've done a lot of reporting on the Me Too movement at large for Hollywood. Now, with the documentary basically leading to now an actual legit investigation, do you feel this is going to come to a similar conclusion like Bill Cosby, like Harvey, like Kevin Spacey, still pending? But do you think now with this many women in numbers that there's going to be justice?
I think if anyone has started to write the obit for the Me Too movement, right? A lot of people saying it's lost its steam. We're tired of hearing about these stories. It's swung too far to one side. I think we've seen this week that they are sadly mistaken. Between R. Kelly and Lassiter and Louis C.K. There have been so many stories this week. Les Moonves, the fact that he's not getting his $120 million.
Which he desperately
Whether or not this is going to...
We talked extensively about that.
And now we have Turay, one of the journalists featured. Right.
I'm going to get to that, though. Let me just figure, though, that... I'm sorry, not to digress back to what I... I want to ask something more specific, because what struck me the most about watching the documentary, aside from the fact that I couldn't with the prison interview with the brother with the numbers, I mean, it was just...
I had to rewind it back
because I went, wait, that was his brother? And I'm like, they're interviewed by the brothers, and Jen goes, I like older women, you know? We all got our preferences, and he likes young women. I mean, but they're it's illegal, sir. It's like illegal. Did it strike you the amount of people that were recalling what was going on, but yet nobody, like, I saw Robert at the high school and I thought, oh, this was weird. I saw Robert do, I saw a bed in the middle of the studio. So what I want to ask is, should these enablers be held just as accountable in some way, shape, or form? What's your opinion, Anita?
I think there should be some repercussions for these enablers, because there were, we had his former manager and tour manager and personal assistant saying he accompanied R. Kelly to shopping malls at every tour stop to pick up young women and sometimes girls.
Do you think it was a situation where just like, as long as the check cleared, they were going to keep their mouth closed?
I think so. I think that's what drives a lot of people in the industry. Like, we'll talk about with, you know, Lassiter.
Yes.
I think it's just so sad that these young women's lives and their livelihood and their future is totally pushed aside just because, oh, I'm getting a check, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
You know, it's interesting. I was watching, we're talking about her later, but Megyn Kelly had some parents on from a daughter. Now, at this point, the daughter was in her 20s, so it's like, what can you do? But they're saying, our daughter's in a cult, you know. It was very clear that they received a letter from her, but her name was spelled wrong. Who spells their own name wrong in their letter? And they're like, no, this is clearly written by the manager. And it's like, if a manager is forging fake letters to parents, I think there should be legal ramifications for that.
I think we're doing a disservice, by the way, the media specifically, doing a disservice to these girls by calling this a cult. Yes, there are a lot of cultish things about this specific story that coincide with Scientology or NXIVM or any of these other cults.
Yeah.
But we have to remember there's a difference here. These are young girls who did not have any kind of choice in the matter of joining the supposed cult and then getting brainwashed. These are young girls. So I think the terms that are more appropriate here is child molestation or child abuse, but definitely not cult.
My question about, as we're in this era right now, Me Too era, and a lot. Do you, okay, so you know how, like, when a person commits murder and then someone who knows facts about that can be essentially charged accessory before. Right. Is there a similar thing that can be, I'm asking this as like an, I'm ignorant on this, so I'm asking, if someone is, if he's found guilty of, say, committing sexual misconduct or rape or sexual molestation, and then you were able to prove that people around him sort of knew this, mm-hmm. can they be then charged in a way that you can with a murder as an accessory?
I'm not an attorney, so I don't know.
Okay.
But first, it has to be determined that crimes were committed. So we have a prosecutor in Chicago saying she is considering opening up an investigation, and they reportedly have, no one's come out and confirmed it, in Fulton County, Georgia, the two places where R. Kelly allegedly ran these sex cults. There is no specific investigation that has been confirmed.
Yeah.
Once there is, perhaps prosecutors will find a way to charge people as accessories.
So I think that's much more difficult, obviously, because, you know, this is years sometimes after the incidents took place.
Right.
Memories are fuzzy. You have to sort of show that they knew exactly what they were doing, that they actually knew that they were sending these girls to a specific, you know, outcome. But, you know, you have to ask yourself the same thing about all these agencies in Hollywood who were sending these young actresses to Harvey Weinstein and all these and all these predators. I think there was a report by the New York Times showing that at least 8 CAA agents knew what was going on with Harvey Weinstein and continued sending their clients to see him. And that's going to be the next phase of this. Anita's right. There's going to be first the process of clearing out the predators themselves and then going after the people who facilitated.
So the other thing I'm going to ask, a lot of music artists, John Legend, there were like a lot of vocal, Lady Gaga obviously taking her song off of thing. I saw also blowback. Lady Gaga specifically, and maybe that's because I'm gay and I have a lot of fan, my feed tends to be, but they were basically saying that because she's in the midst of an Oscar campaign is why she's now becoming vocal, but that she had been asked for years to comment and be even back, why are you collaborating with him? Why are you... Do you, and not just her, but in, at large, do you think these music artists that are all of a sudden now coming are just sort of doing it because all of the information and that they actually did know a little bit more than they are letting on?
I think there is definitely a motivation because Dream Hampton, the writer and director of Surviving R. Kelly, she went on the record with the Detroit Free Press and said, these are the people I approach who would not do interviews with me, including... Lady Gaga,
Jay-Z,
Dave Chappelle, who knew about this and had done skits about it. None of these people would go on the record. Now, suddenly, that Gaga wants to be nominated for an Oscar later this month, she's releasing statements, she's taking music off streaming
Chance
services.
Chance the Rapper came forward, too.
Yeah, Chance the Rapper came forward.
Which, that was kind of interesting to watch, because he denounced it, but then he, like, backpedaled on it and then said part of his comments were... Because he was basically saying, like, I shouldn't have did the collaboration. But then it was, like, the comments... Where did that land? Yeah. Because I was reading it...
So, he pretty much said he shouldn't have done the collaboration.
Yes.
And then he said, I didn't believe it because it was from black women.
Yes.
I mean, when I saw the documentary, it was cut up. He did end up releasing the full kind of minute long statement.
Okay.
It doesn't defend what he says at the end about, I didn't believe it because it wasn't, you know, it was coming from black women. I mean, that's a heavy blow.
Whoa.
That's a really heavy blow. And but at least he owned up to it and said that was wrong to say. And like, at least I can check myself.
Exactly.
Now.
Can I just add this?
Yes.
I was disgusted by what Chance the Rapper said, but I also want to go on the record and say the African-American community was somewhat complicit in this situation going on and on and on, including myself. I continued to buy R. Kelly's albums after he was acquitted. I thought, oh, well, this is over, and maybe there was no truth. I don't know. I didn't see the tape.
Yeah.
But a lot of us, Step in the Name of Love, we continued to buy his records, but now... that I have the full scope of what has happened, I've thrown out his CDs. Yes, I still have old CDs.
Yes.
I'll admit, the only song that I know of R. Kelly's are like his big one. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this. I think that's really what you see in that, if anyone who's watched the entire series, That's really the theme of it, is how did we let this happen, and how did the African-American community in particular sort of elevate him to that place even after those charges sort of became public. And I think the travesty of it all is really that acquittal that sort of gave him a clean slate.
Yeah.
And that's the fact that these songs, you know, we think of I Think I Could Fly, you know, that one, it's so inspirational.
The songs that you play at weddings and stuff. It's like, you hear I Believe I Can Fly at all of these powerful emotional events at funerals.
I feel like Idol. Yeah. How many times did people sing that on Idol?
I'm super fan.
How many bad versions of that were on Idol?
I was a super fan. I have all of his songs, Fiesta, I Believe I Can Fly.
Yeah.
The greatest. And then you had like the Trapped in the Closet hits after that, where he was kind of mocking himself. And that was a big hit.
Yeah, it was like a, what is it called?
It was
a
like
CD
a six
with
part
the video.
Yeah.
And the midget and like all of that.
So a second leg of this story now in the documentary, and I want to make sure I'm pronouncing his name, Touré.
Touré,
the journalist who
You're so
featured.
White.
That's why I asked. Oh God! So although I did know what a lace front was, as we talked. Touré.
Yeah.
The journalist that was featured, who did a lot of the like reporting, I guess, originally on him.
He did.
Someone came. He was featured heavily, and then after it aired, a makeup artist, right? Makeup artist, correct?
Yes.
Came forward accusing him now. Mm-hmm. Do we think he's done? Because I find journalists, which we all are, your major thing is credibility.
Right.
I feel like he's going to have a tough time coming back. Like, hypocrisy in journalism is probably the worst.
Especially the screenshots of the text where he's like, please don't tell people about me. Basically, at the end, it's like, oh my God, what are you doing typing all of this? Like, this is, you
that's
should know better.
That's the other thing in writing. It's like, at least pick up the phone if you're going to be disgusting.
Right, just have some...
not that it's okay.
But it is, it's like with the Matt Lauer situation, you see him interviewing men and attacking them about their actions when they're doing the same thing. So it's, the most disappointing thing.
Very, very true. Now, he
and she
had
came
an interview. She did come forward.
Because
he sat
of the
down,
documentary.
Yeah, with R. Kelly in 2008 for an interview for BET. Now, he's been with MSNBC and Rolling Stone. He's a very respected music journalist.
Yeah.
So
I think I've done some, like, pop culture panels with him on CNN before, for sure. The talking head where you, like, fight about stuff like we're doing now.
Yeah.
So this...
Just no squares.
I think the woman, the makeup artist, says this happened in about 2013. They were working together on a show for Time Inc. And he kept repeatedly saying these horrible things to her.
Yeah.
And so... he went on, not only did he talk about his interview with R. Kelly in the docuseries, he was in almost every part going on and basically criticizing R. Kelly and talking about what a horrible human being R. Kelly was. And so the makeup artist saw him doing all these interviews and she was like, wait a minute, he got his own demons.
Which goes to show, I mean, if you've done
anything
Me Too related, at all,
stay away from reporting
on
it.
Don't do any reporting on it at all.
No. Oh, my God. So, wait a minute. My question is this, though. Do you think it's, like, the reason that it's even worse because of how fairly recent? Like, you know how, like, we're talking about 10 years ago they did this, 20 years. Yeah. 2013 we're talking about. That's, like, a hop, skip, and a jump ago.
It was recent.
I just want thoughts on this. Like, what's your thought? Like, what do you think?
Is he done... Probably. I mean, but I think his career was already on a downward path.
So the R. Kelly.
Yeah, this is someone who, you know, had a show, was on MSNBC, everywhere in
the
media.
For all we know, this could have played into his current downfall.
Well, I was just going to say, she said she complained and she said that
he got fired from Time Inc.
He claims it wasn't because of that, though. Yeah.
Stuart, you just brought up a good point that I'm so glad you did about... And this is very true about actresses and actors. You know, when you knew a really talented actor and actress, and we know this, and I think the same's true with journalists. Where have they been? Why haven't you seen them? But then you start digging deeper. They were horrible to work with. They were mean people. They did. Yeah. So I think you are onto something with that. That was actually really maybe why we hadn't seen him, and why his career kind of did.
Well, he has a podcast, and apparently,
like everybody else on the planet.
The day that this story went viral, Essence Magazine broke it.
Yeah.
Terry Crews was supposed to come on his podcast.
Canceled.
And what? Canceled. Exactly. Right. Once Terry got wind of all this.
Well, Terry Crews.
I gotta love Terry Crews.
He's like the thread that weaves everything together, because then he's been very vocal about Kevin Hart. He's like, here's what Kevin Hart is doing. I was like, Terry Crews, you were like, he needs a talk show.
He tweeted, canceled.
Well, yes.
Referring to the interview.
Didn't Terry I love the fact that that's all he said. One word, canceled.
And it was all caps.
And all caps. Yes.
In case you missed it.
Yeah, but he, Terry Crews, to me, because he was the one that accused the agent that led to, you know, justice for the agent.
He was like the first male that came forward.
He was on MSNBC, and let me tell you something, so articulate about this, but like a true champion of this movement. And what he said was about R. Kelly during that same thing, we have to cancel Terry on MSNBC, he said, they're gonna get him, just like they got Harvey, just like they got Bill. He said they're gonna get him, and he said that other men, and I think we speak on behalf of men, need to hold other men. It's just as much of a responsibility of men. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I want to move. We have so much more to cover. Yeah. Is there any last thoughts to end on here? There's so much we could talk about this, R. Kelly, because it's that disturbing.
It's gonna keep developing. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how many people start to kind of mute R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people there is... Actually, we have a tweet on this.
Yes.
Kathy Cheney, who is the deputy managing editor for the Sun-Times,
tweeted
out, Black-owned Chicago station pulls R. Kelly off the air. And I think we're going to start to see
just like
more
Bill Cosby.
Of that.
Like, we ain't ever going to see them Cosby reruns in
which
this.
We should.
WJLH here in Los Angeles has also pulled his music, and there was just a rally outside the radio station thanking them and saying, we're going to go after other radio stations that don't pull his music.
That don't pull
but that's
music.
The only reason he's been able to continue and almost unaffected, unfazed by this Me Too movement, even though his numbers are very high. I mean, I remember I had to put a list of all the cases against him throughout the years. I needed a calculator to figure it out. It was that many women.
You start to see these stories coming in that certain people weave in and out. I went on Terry's website today, and he has a picture with Lady Gaga, and I was like, oh, gosh. I had to laugh because I thought, it's like you can't
escape it.
Oh, God, okay. All right, so moving on to the next Me Too story. John Lasseter, Disney fired John Lasseter this last year. He was the Pixar chief, and by the way, a visionary in the animation community, the kind of money.
Yeah, Cars, Toy Story, I mean, all the big ones are his.
So he was rehired this week by Skydance, David Ellison and Megan Ellison's company, to head up their animation division, and it was met with some swift... backlash and Time's Up. By the way, Time's Up as this one body time says Time's Up. Who's Time's Up? I know, like, who's part of it, but, like, don't some faces need to own these statements now? It's like, Time's Up said. Time's Up this. I'm like, there has to come a point where Time's Up, like, sort of has, like, faces repping it. Because to me, it's very weird now. It's like, Time's Up's watching if Les gets hired. Time's Up is mad about John Lasseter. Anyway, they issued a statement. And this leads us to a bigger question. And Itai, you did some reporting on this with John Lasseter. Suffice to say, the industry was not happy about this. And I think more because either it was too soon, either they just felt this set an entire bad precedent for all of the other men accused. But I think digging a little bit deeper, Itai, because you spoke to Me Too activist Alyssa Milano about this. So speak to this to sort of... do you think, sort of in a situation like a John Lasseter, who's a nonviolent, non-criminal offender here, he was fired, they say he recognized, although I don't think the amount of time that he's had is enough to truly reform and show restitution. Do you think, though, that there is a path back for a John Lasseter or of that level? But then how do you determine who's what? Like, this person gets a second chance, this person doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
How?
And I think that's going to be the next big hurdle for the Me Too and Time's Up organizations in terms of figuring out what to do with some of these men who will inevitably try to reenter society and Hollywood specifically. And I think There are people like Time's Up and Women in Film and a lot of other activists who came out immediately and said, someone who has done what he's done, someone who's abused his power, has no place in Hollywood anymore after Me Too. And but I spoke to Alyssa Milano, who, you know, started essentially the Me Too movement right after Tarana Burke. She was the one who essentially said, if you've ever been sexually abused, say Me Too. And then she realized that Tarana Burke had started it a decade earlier or so. But it was a sort of a she was a big part of it.
And
what she
and she
said
still
was,
remains on the front lines.
And what she told me was she thought that in cases of nonviolent offenders, we have to start thinking of a pathway for them to, rehabilitation. You know, they have to show, obviously, remorse and show that they've done their work. But at some point, we have to be realistic and say, not all of these offenders, you know, we can't take away their livelihood, is what she said.
Do you think, Anita, studios, networks, even talent agencies, turn the other cheek for these high-performing people a little bit more when it comes to, like, a top talent like John Lasseter? Do you think it just comes down to the money?
Absolutely. Look at what happened with Bill Cosby. So many people knew about what was going on. The same with Harvey Weinstein. You just said there were agents who were allegedly complicit. It does come down to money. But I have to ask, someone who has done things, and he's not accused, to my knowledge, of raping anyone.
No, no. He's accused, I think, by multiple women who came forward and said he touched or kissed inappropriately.
He was kissy-faced. So to tell you about Disney sources and people that work there, very handsy when he would drink at like company events.
And inappropriate comments and making women feel...
always like... And by the way, it's just like you don't walk into an office and like hug a woman or just like...
anytime that people feel like the solution is to not put pretty women in a room with him, what does that say about women in the workplace? Oh, just because you're attractive, you can't have a meeting with a talented creative? That's not fair.
Or the vice president?
I was thinking
about
the Tushy. That's exactly what I thought
about. That's a different story. But my thing is, if you've been doing something 20, 30, 40 years, can you really be rehabilitated?
Right. No.
Can that behavior be changed? Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I think if you've done it for 20 years, you don't deserve to be rehabilitated. But I think that, you know... We also have to make sure that we understand, and I'm not making any excuses for any of them. Some of these accusations stem back 20 years, and yes, we're nonviolent and non-criminal, and perhaps that person has not done it in a long time afterwards. I mean, there are cases where some people say we have to look at those cases, the ones that are... Yeah. That are in the gray areas and say, what do we do with them? Yes, they've lost their jobs, their reputations, but what do we not allow them at all to come back?
But here's my point, though. Who determines that? Because I still feel, and we've had, like, here we are 6 months later still talking about who's going to, if it's Time's Up, doesn't it have to be like a Hollywood-wide thing? Like, okay... all these networks, all these studios, we're signing a pledge that Time's Up is now going, as a body, a governing body of our industry, is going to make, like, who's going to, like, who's the judge and jury on it?
But Time's Up cannot tell the CEO of a company not to hire someone. They cannot stop a board from hiring someone.
But that's what I'm saying. Does it need to get to the point that companies are... What I'm saying is, like, picture Time's Up essentially operating like the Hollywood-wide human resources department for all of Hollywood. Because I don't see where you get the... Who is going to determine... You're absolutely right. A CEO of Disney can hire whoever the F they want, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like... nobody can say that. Time's Up can issue these statements. So then my question, like what you're saying, is where do we draw... It's such a squirrely, dicey thing. I don't know who's going to draw these lines.
And we're kind of seeing that with some of these personalities, right? Like Billy Bush. Where's Megyn Kelly? It's like... It's really interesting to see the fallout and who seems to get through it and be okay. Yeah. And who really suffers.
It's like... Does it just come down to the good old-fashioned relationships and money? Like, if you're a top... Yeah. I do feel more often than not. John Lasseter is a person, and I can't quote the exact number, but bazillion dollars from car... You know, he's the guy behind Cars, behind, you know, Disney and Pixar's major, you know, releases that you're talking, which, by the way, I don't believe, just from an industry standpoint, John Lasseter's going to strike lightning again after everything, like, mm-hmm. at Skydance. That's just my personal opinion, seeing how this goes. But to me, to have to even put the kind of parameters and have the women now at have to have it, you have to hire someone and then hold a town hall immediately to make sure everybody's okay. Aren't you just thinking in your head, like, is this really a good thing for morale?
Right.
What's your take on that?
I think it's going to be a big issue for a lot of people at Skydance, especially female workers who are going to be saying, hey, do I really want to work for a company that clearly doesn't value my safety? I mean, I can see someone thinking that
way.
I think they're going to get a lot of pushback from Time's Up and all these other organizations that could affect the talent that you get, the contracts that you get, your reputation suffers. So every company that hires someone like that is going to have to make, and you know, we saw that with Lasseter. So Ellison had to send out a statement saying that he did not take that decision lightly. Usually when you send out a statement that you just hired the head of your animation, it's a good congratulatory, fun, fuzzy feeling kind of statement. Oh, just so you know, we hired this guy.
So and like, we're thinking about hiring this guy. Could you hire some extra lawyers so we could we had extra work to do on the contract and everybody else's agreements.
I actually have a tweet that kind of speaks to what we're talking about here. So this is from Kim Masters, who's a journalist over at
The Hollywood Reporter. I worked with her,
exactly. So, and she actually got a quote from somebody who works at Skydance. So this is what it says. First animator heard from on Skydance hiring of John Lasseter. And this is a quote. LOL, this town doesn't give a shit about Me Too or anything else when it comes to behavior and the almighty dollar. What a joke. So that's from somebody that works there.
I almost want to end it on that note. Yeah. Just end it on that note.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. Unfortunate. Good luck, God bless. But I say good luck and God bless to the people working there now. Because also, anyway, I digress. Next, God, this is all about this show. Should have been like the hirings and firings episode.
There you go.
So, Megyn Kelly got paid $65 million to not work.
Doesn't that hurt?
Oh my God.
I know, right? That's what I was thinking.
Wait, to be fair, she worked 2 years out of the three.
No.
One year.
And by the way,
one and a half.
Still. I should say this: we've had disagreements on this actually with you because I actually respect Megyn Kelly tremendously. As a journalist, I do believe when she was in her lane at Fox News, and
that was her lane.
Yeah, it was her lane. I believe she was at the top of her game, right? I think when they tried to turn her into like the Vanity Fair cover Snow White woman that women should look up to was a mistake because she's the tough as nails, like prosecutorial kind of woman that also had racial undertones in some of the things that
racial
she said.
Undertones. Please, give me a break. I think the reason why this woman is not where she was and where she was supposed to be when they threw all this money at her, $69 million.
Yeah.
I mean, Katie Couric didn't get that money when she went to, you know, I mean, it was a different time too. But still, I mean, it's crazy to me that she got that kind of money. But this is a woman who was on Fox News for a long time, spewing stuff like Santa is white and... it was Santa was white.
Santa's white and Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus is white.
No. Are we supposed to put that aside and say she's a great journalist? I'm sorry, but no. I mean,
so you don't think she was a good journalist at any point in her career?
Highly overrated.
Well, then you start going, what is a journalist these days?
Like, broadcast journalism.
Is it reporting the news? Or it's all opinion,
it's
right?
Opinion.
She was definitely opinionated.
She was opinionated. Okay, so here.
Cringeworthy.
Let me also back up just to say, I don't think anyone watching our show doesn't know about this, but Megyn Kelly had a disastrous third hour run the Megyn Kelly Today, she took over and was there, less than a year?
In that so third disastrous hour. That now it's 20% off she left.
It led to her dismissal. Were already negotiating for her to leave because it was such a poor fit. But then it ended up being where she basically said on air during an all-white panel about Halloween. The lightest fare you could possibly talk about.
Yeah.
Like, what should we dress up for Halloween?
Celebrities didn't want to go on the show anymore, so it was like just trying to find content.
Yeah. So it was all white panel to discuss if blackface was appropriate or inappropriate, and she basically said, that was okay when I was growing up, and it's like, okay, oh God.
And kept it on saying.
Can we go back to her hiring? Because, and she started that show, Megyn Kelly Today, September 2017. It was an ill fit from the get-go. This is someone who was used to going toe-to-toe with politicians and saying racist things at night.
Yeah. And then she's interviewing Jane Fonda.
Suddenly she's on a morning show interviewing celebrities and doing cooking segments. Yeah. Like, it was a bad
And racist light segments. Did you not see the dance? Oh, God. Kate Arthur, shout out. Do you see Kate Arthur from BuzzFeed created this GIF? I was screaming because she did a story about the whole Megyn Kelly thing. And she has the GIF of Hoda and Megan dancing. And it was basically like her old tweet got like literally a million views on this GIF and video of them dancing. Because Kate's original tweet was something like, I just saw Megyn Kelly dancing with Hoda just for the pure
ratings.
To kill time. And I'm horrified. Yeah. It was like them just dancing and like they're grabbing the audience to come up with them. Listen, they tried to soften her up. They tried to do it was ill fit, but guess what? The guy who paid her the $65 million, Andy Lack, is still there.
Right.
So it's like, and this is the guy who's weathered the. This is Matt Lauer. He oversaw the division of Matt Lauer. So think about that, though. What is wrong with this picture?
Well, and is there any money left at the Today Show? I mean, they allegedly paid off Billy Bush.
They're paying everybody to not work.
Left with some money. Megyn Kelly walked away with a reported $30 million.
Are we bringing that up? Wait, is that up, producers? Is that up?
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
And even the purple outfit, they're probably like, wear this purple and white outfit. You'll look so soft. You're going to dance with Hoda.
It's just
Hoda bizarre. Was probably like, I better be getting a bonus for this shit.
I watched Megyn Kelly today for story ideas. I didn't watch it every day. Uh-huh. But she was so uncomfortable. There is an art to interviewing celebrities and not going hard, at least until the end, in case they walk out. Well,
she didn't have to work. She didn't have to worry about that because after the Jane Fonda and what was the other debacle? The Deborah Messing thing. There were no celebrities.
It was ill-fitting from the start. Yeah. Yeah. All right, but
don't worry,
she
Joseph.
Told celebrity photographers on a New York City street corner on Thursday night she'll be back on TV this year.
That's what
I
believe it.
I believe it too, but
where is Megyn Kelly
but
going?
Is TV just linear now? Because is TV not streamer?
No, it isn't.
Facebook. I feel like
she said TV.
I think she'll do TV.
It's going to be some kind of like she gets an hour. I think she will not get her slot back at Fox News every night. I feel like it's going to go be like Megyn Kelly special interviews. Yeah, Megyn Kelly
like
presents.
Yeah.
She's going to get like
500 channels plus streaming.
It's
who
so
knows?
Much.
Yeah.
Right.
She'll get something. And isn't Sinclair looking for to?
That's true.
No, aren't they trying to be conservative?
She's not going
to
go for local news. She hasn't hit local news yet.
Listen, she doesn't even have to work again if she doesn't want to.
Write a book about this. She's going to be fine.
Although,
her agreement, local news after being a lawyer, she's not going back.
No.
That's the only thing. Her agreement. By the way, her lawyer should be getting a big ass bonus for this because she walked away with all her money, and the only concessions that they made, according to reporting, was that there's limits to what she can talk about with her time at NBC.
She can talk about it, but limits to
fiction piece.
Yeah.
With different names like Lauren Conrad did.
But there's no non-compete.
Genius.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. Loosely based on my experience. Loosely based. Okay, so let's move to another female anchor that I love. Julie Chen Moonves. She's back, everybody. Celebrity Big Brother. Woo!
Yeah.
Another one dancing on social media. So Celebrity Big Brother announced their cast today. Do you have the article actually? I know the Mooch, Anthony Scaramucci, all of his 11
Shen
days
Lefty.
In the White House, has now netted.
Oh,
yeah. Anthony Scaramucci, Jonathan Bennett from Mean Girls. I saw Tamar Braxton.
Yeah.
Tamar Braxton.
I'm sorry.
Tamar will bring a whole new level of.
Kato Kaelin.
Ryan Lochte.
Yep,
that
bless him. him.
Actually, the list that I saw, I don't watch that show, but this was one of the best collections of people
so
for that.
I'm so excited for this
season. So you do watch the show?
Oh, yeah. I've been watching Big Brother forever.
Then this question will go to you, because I want to know what you think. Yeah. Do you think it was suspicious, because obviously Julie Chen Moonves, married to Les Moonves, the disgraced former president of CBS, who did not get his $120 million golden parachute severance after he was found to be guilty of all of the sexual misconduct that the internal investigation turned up. She was not in the initial promos when they started promoing. Do we think that was, like, on purpose?
Because, of course it was.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I think of course it was. But here's the thing. Julie Chen's with the show forever.
Yes.
I understand the talk. The talk is very... It's the talk that she needed to step down from.
Yeah,
that.
She couldn't talk. We knew she couldn't go back.
What's she going to do? Stay silent every time they talk about a Me Too case?
Yeah, I'm going to go get some call. You need a refill?
Yeah.
I'm going to accuse myself from this half hour.
I would definitely say that if you look at just, you know, when she tweeted that photo and she posted on her Instagram, it was 50-50 mix.
That's exactly right. It's a polarizing subject.
Some people are like, Julie Chen is Big Brother. And other people are like, how could she do this? So it's
on our highest rated clip now in the history of Meet the Hollywood Press's short little history is a Julie Chen discussion. Mm-hmm. And it's got exactly the same. The comments go, ours was a little more anti-Julie.
Right.
But it's like the half in it. But the Big Brother fans specifically love her.
They stand for her.
They love her.
Mm-hmm. They live for, like, people get excited when they're voted out of the house for their one-on-one with Julie as they exit the house. They're like, hey, Julie! So they love her.
Yeah.
Well, she's, you know.
The comments, though, would range from like this. Julie, you keep your head up. We're so happy to see you back. And the next one is like, is Les a contestant?
It's, you know what? It's passionate. And let's talk about hate watching. Hate watching is a thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Either way, it's a winner for CBS.
I'm peaked. I never even paid attention to Julie Chen.
Like,
before,
look,
and now I'm like interested.
We got so much interesting stuff from Omarosa. I'm like, Mooch, what you got?
Exactly.
What do you got for your, how many days was he there? 10?
I think 10.
11 days.
11 days?
So I think that's what, because he's been on Cuomo's show a lot. So I think he wants a TV career. And by the way,
he's also been on The View.
He's very good on TV.
Yeah, as a co-host.
He's excellent on TV.
And you've got I disagree with most of his.
I went to his book signing party. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There were some people there. Yeah.
And you have some Celebrity Apprentice people. There's a lot of stuff.
I mean, it's going to get good ratings. Yeah. It's going to get good ratings. And I'm sure that. President Trump will give a shout out.
Watching.
Tune into Big Brother. It's a great show. Great show. It's going to get great ratings. Anyway, two more pieces of TV news, and then I want to get to Overheard Hollywood, where I hear from you guys about what you're working on in your stories. Steve Harvey's talk show is in jeopardy. Not his talk show itself. The production company is trying to find it. A distributor, but NBC Universal is not going to carry the show because they made room for the Kelly Clarkson show. And there's still some other tweaking just with their lineup being Ellen, Kelly. There's some questions about what else because Extra moved to Fox stations and Billy Bush also in talks to go to Extra.
I wonder what Mario thinks.
Yeah.
There's rumors about that. Yeah. But anyway, I want to get to just basically Steve Harvey. Though said he may move to Facebook. What's our thoughts on that?
Oh boy. It kind of felt like Steve was backpedaling. Okay, so Steve was at CES in Las Vegas last week, and he was like a feature speaker. He was asked about what's going to happen with this show because there's a distributor, but no one to pick it up.
Yeah.
So it's been yanked. His time slot was given to Kelly Clarkson. So Steve said, well, syndication is dying. Syndicated TV is dying.
Which is not completely false.
No,
like,
he's
that's,
dead on.
Yeah,
TV
he's dead
is
on.
Struggling.
Exactly. Yeah. And so is the Entertainment News Magazine
100%.
Category. Yeah, so go ahead.
So he said that he's looking at other options, including
Facebook.
And one really interesting thing he said is that Nielsen is not reliable.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about delayed viewing and how so many people don't actually watch shows when they air. They record them and watch them later.
True.
And he says he doesn't get credit for these airings. Whereas with YouTube and Facebook, you know exactly how many people were watching.
Yeah. Well, you do get credit if people watch it within three or 7 days.
Okay.
Anyone who watches after 7 days, usually it doesn't get counted.
Which is a bad arbiter. not, I don't want to get in too big in the weeds about ratings, but it's just, but that's being negotiated too, because CBS wants a whole new I think that this is going to get turned on its ear because of all the multi-platforms. My question though about, back to Steve Harvey on Facebook, do you actually think that's actually to do though with the fact that he got yanked from NBC Universal is just purely because the Kelly Clarkson, or remember the report, the very explosive report that came out on Steve Harvey and how he acted behind the scenes?
But his show was still renewed. So it was called Steve Harvey or the Steve Harvey Show or something like that.
Yeah. And it does well.
Yeah, it does well. Yeah. And it was based in Chicago. He basically let go of all the staff, moved to LA, rebranded the show, but then it leaked that he had told staffers, don't talk to me, don't look at me.
Yeah, he doesn't want
to be his guest.
I don't want anything
story.
To do with any of you.
Who reported that originally? I can't remember.
I don't think he was like, but he doesn't want to make small talk.
And do you remember, Alina, when it was reported? Oh, God, it was like his list.
Right?
No, yeah. His list, it was not denied. It was basically like,
he said he was stressed out.
Yeah. Instead of saying, oh, hell no.
The list of
small talk. Don't come in my office to make small talk.
Yes. You will be removed.
No, don't look at me in the eye or something, too, right?
Yeah,
it was one of those things.
It was crazy. But I will say this. A year ago, I would have said, this is crazy to even consider Facebook. But it's completely working with Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah. I was just going to say, with your shirt.
So
I was going to say three words. Red table talk.
I mean, I love that.
It has a lot of money. Like, they're looking for stuff. They have money.
It's,
she did such an amazing thing, too. And it's almost like, I'm sure TV companies have already approached her. She's probably like, I don't want to be on TV. She's like, I'll do my own thing.
They shoot it at her house.
She doesn't need to be.
So,
anyway,
she proved that you can make Facebook work.
Yeah.
Okay. Any last thoughts? No. I'd watch it if I'll watch anything. Like, if it's something I like, I don't care where I'm consuming it at.
Yeah. Well, I'll watch it once. Your computer anyway.
She said, I'll watch it once.
I'll give it a go. Write a story about it.
Okay, before we wrap up, I want to, our segment Overheard Hollywood, as our viewers know, is where we ask our guests, our reporters, something they're working on, some little scoop that they've heard on the ground out there. Anita, what do you got for us?
Oh, boy. I just published a story on Urban Hollywood 411. I interviewed a young journalist by the name of Brittany Noble Jones. She's African-American, was a morning anchor in Jackson, Mississippi. She says she was fired after she filed an EEOC complaint. Her station told her that her natural hair was unprofessional, allegedly. But I interviewed her, and she told me, I have receipts. I recorded the conversations with my news director, and he told me, multiple times. So she had straight hair. She said a long weave when she got the job. But she said she was watching Blackish and she noticed the actresses had natural hair and she wanted to stop processing her own hair. So, and I think we showed the article on screen there. So she wore her natural hair. She was warned not to wear it again. And then she told me one day she had been out covering a story and she needed to get back to the set quickly. She didn't have time to put on. She had a wig just in case.
Yeah.
And she didn't have time to put her wig on, so she went on with her natural hair, and she was reprimanded. So, anyway, head to Urban Hollywood 411 for all the details.
Can I just ask one question? Is the news director African-American or white?
The news director, there were two news directors. They were both Caucasian men.
Okay.
When she filed her initial complaint with HR, the first news director was fired. A second news director came in and she said gave her just as many problems. So she went to HR again and then she filed an EEOC complaint. The station, the CBS affiliate in Jackson, is owned by Nexstar Media Group.
Yes.
They did not respond to my request for comment. I emailed two executives in the company.
Thank you. I read the story. It's excellent. UrbanHollywood411.com. Itai, you're up.
I'm going to be doing a little more reporting on, there's some friction between Time's Up and Me Too. So.
Ooh. Yeah, maybe you'll come back, talk about that?
Perhaps. There was a video that came out New Year's Day. That Time's Up sort of did a nice, flashy kind of sizzle reel with all their highlights from the last year. And then posted it and got flack for the fact that there was not one Harvey Weinstein accuser in the bun in the entire 3-minute video. So wow. Rosanna Arquette, yeah. No Ashley Judd, no
Mira Sorvino, Gwyneth Paltrow,
Annabelle Sciorra, all those guys, none of them were in there.
Basically, all of A-list Hollywood and then some.
Yeah, and so, of course, that ruffled some feathers and a lot of people, even within Me Too, those women who feel like they have risked everything to come forward and tell their story and put their reputations on the line. And then they feel, and I think what it did is it opened some sort of like, the conversation about the fact that a lot of the Me Too activists, the women who sort of came up and started this whole movement, of which, you know, Time's Up came out of, right?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
They feel as though for the last year they have been ignored and pushed aside for the bigger names that Time's Up is all about, right? Because mm-hmm. Time's Up has these really big, big, big mm-hmm. names. And so the women who are perhaps not as big, feel like they do not have a seat at the table.
So coming to Fox schedule this fall next to the Masked Singer will be Me Too versus Time's Up Volleyball.
There you go. When is your story coming out?
It'll come out next week.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Itai. Stuart.
Yeah, so this has been a fun award season. It's the first. I had a baby recently, so I've been on maternity leave that I put myself on from entertainment. I've been a freelance entertainment reporter for over 10 years, and I've worked for all kinds of different outlets. And so, like, just going to parties for fun has been such a different experience, like not having to be so attached to it.
I've been having
the best time with my own blog. I've had it for a couple of years, but doing really great big brand deals has been amazing, and I'm making more money than I ever did in journalism, so I'm just embracing that.
No,
and I think
that
that's a very sad statement for where journalism is.
No, that's where it is.
But that is my reality
right now.
Creating your
own platform and your own, and telling, writing your own rules.
And doing it. So Stuart Says is my blog.
StuartSays.com.
Stuart Brazel. But what I really loved was Hollywood Reporter released the story, and it was, it just made me love Hollywood when I first moved here. It was all about when celebrities used to actually go out. Yes. Like, you would go out in the early 2000s, and there's Leonardo DiCaprio, there's Ryan Gosling, there's Charlize Theron. You would see the big names, like, pre-social media. I posted on my Facebook, and it has just been taking, like, wildfire, people talking about these stories. I remember when I first came here, I was interning at E!, and I went to this club called Nacional, and, like, there's Leonardo DiCaprio, and he was, like, smoking a cigar, and me and my friends were like, are you serious?
Serious?
And it just made me think about, and now I make a living through social media, but just how special that time was when celebrities were out and about and were having fun and weren't worried about, of course, there's the paparazzi, but they weren't worried about everything that they were doing, being on Snapchat or Twitter, and it was just...
Well, guess what, though? Something millennials can't take from us.
Yeah. And thank goodness.
Sorry. But I remember that.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, not sorry.
I, for one, am very happy that there was no Snapchat or Twitter or Instagram during those days.
Right? Beautiful. StuartSays.com. Check her out.
Yeah.
Miss Alina Vision, can you please tell our lovely viewers and listeners where they can find us?
Absolutely. So you guys can watch us on the AfterBuzz YouTube page and subscribe to MTHP on Apple Podcasts. You know, rate us, like us, give us those comments. Plus, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Meet the Hollywood Press and on Twitter at Meet the HWD Press.
Thank you all for watching. Join us next week. I have a very special episode. We've got some head writers and executive producers of the hit show Empire coming to talk about all about diversity in Hollywood and what it's like being a writer in Hollywood and all that good stuff. So thank you for watching. We'll see you next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.